Hello there, everyone. Sheila Hamill here with New Day Dawning and a half hour of inspirational music and personal reflections from the Bible. I'd like to welcome everyone who's listening today. Thanks for joining me. And an extra special welcome to those of you listening in hospitals in the Newcastle and Gateshead area. Let's begin today's programme with a hymn of worship. Worship isn't about a visit to a holy place, nor is it about seeking a religious experience or some kind of uplift in our lives. It's about deep reverence and respect, the kind we ought to have for the Lord God. One Hebrew word for worship, proskuneo, means, literally, to step forward and kiss the hand, or even like a dog might lick the hand of its master. I wonder which hymn helps you really focus your mind on God. This first hymn does it for me. It's Matt Redman singing Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never. Worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before, your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Worship your holy name. Bless you, Lord.
You're bound to remember the film Raiders of the Lost Ark, an Indiana Jones adventure where he and some Nazis were in a race to possess one of the greatest treasures ever known to man, the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark was a golden chest which once housed the tablets of stone upon which the Ten Commandments were written at the time of Moses, but a great mystery surrounded it in the film. But the Ark was a sign of God's presence among His people. It blessed the home cities that possessed it. It brought down disaster on the enemies of Israel. Well, in our Old Testament reading today from the second book of Samuel, chapter 6, we find King David absolutely lost in celebration and worship as this treasure, the Ark, now free from enemy hands, is brought into the city of Jerusalem, making it a holy city and a brand new political capital. David removes his royal robes and dances all the way into the city in just a loincloth. His crown has been laid to one side, and in this simple demonstration of liturgical dance, he points to everyone that God is king over all. And so David enters the city as a humble servant. In the future, one of his own descendants, Jesus, would do something similar and enter the city in great humility too. riding on a donkey. But no wonder David dances for joy, and here's a question for you today. When was the last time you danced like David?
When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. Upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. And I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David.
That was Joshua Aaron with When the Spirit of the Lord. I hope you were dancing to that one along in your mind and your imagination. All the people in the city are caught up in worship and celebration along with David as they make their way into the city. All except one. David's wife, King Saul's daughter, Michal. She looks on scornfully, despising him for dancing in such an undignified way. Sarcastically, she tells him exactly what she thinks. "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today," she sneers, "disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would." Was she merely trying to force him into her mould of how a king should act, or did she simply look on him as someone beneath her, still a common shepherd? But in reply to her caustic words, David stands firm and says, "I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this." Here we see one heart full of love and praise, the other full of criticism and disapproval. Bearing in mind last week's phrase, "God judges the heart," which heart here meets with his approval? Our next song by Brian Bedford makes the point that if we truly love someone, we shouldn't seek to control their lives or hold them back. We should set them free to be the person they're meant to be. It's called What's the Use of Wings? And it's here sung by Steve Metcalf of Durham.
I could have been a giant, said the bonsai tree, but someone bound my roots and held me down. I could have reached the heavens, said the snowy owl, but they clipped my wings and kept me on the ground. I think I heard them tell me that they loved me, that they'd care for me, without them I would die. What's the use of roots if you can't spread them? What's the use of wings if you can't fly? I could have been a singer, said the minor bird, but they caged me and they told me what to say. I could have run forever, said the pony, but they bridled me and made me go their way. I think I heard them tell me that they loved me, that they'd care for me forever, so it seems. What's the use of voices without freedom? What's the use of living others' dreams? Why do people cage the things they love the most? Is it simply that they fear to be alone? If you give your love its freedom, it will stay a while. If it leaves you, it was never yours to own.
And so we come to our gospel reading today from St. Mark chapter 6, where we meet a powerful and mighty prophet called John the Baptist, someone else, like David, who was determined to speak his mind and who had a heart totally given to God. This reading tells us why Herod Antipas, ruler of the land, was filled with fear when he heard all of the rumours about Jesus and his power. He thought Jesus was really John the Baptist, coming back to haunt him for what he had done to him. What did he do? Let's find out. Reading in Mark chapter 6 from verse 17. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to, because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent in an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. You see, speaking the truth is not always a wise thing to do against a tyrant. or if a person wants to be popular and fulfill their ambitions in life. But John couldn't be silenced on truth. He was God's man. He feared no one. He spoke out and wasn't afraid of the consequences. Many people today are often afraid to speak out the truth. It's much easier and much safer to compromise. But this song, sung by Michael John Talbot, has God telling his people not to be afraid.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your word.
Quite enjoyed hearing John preach and was in no hurry to have him silenced. He knew that John was a prophet of God and popular with the people, and he wanted to avoid a rebellion if he possibly could. Herodias, Herod's new wife, on the other hand, was furious with John. She was a woman scorned, and hell hath no fury like it, so the saying goes, and she was out for revenge. She bided her time. All she needed was the right moment and the right place, and all the cunning she could muster. She was even willing to put Salome, her own daughter, to shame by making her the bait, which she dangled before Herod to achieve her aims. Young royal princesses in those days didn't lower themselves to dance in the manner of the common dancing girls of the court. Now it's easy for us to condemn Herodias' scheming, which culminated in John being executed, but aren't our hearts just as ugly at times? So let's examine ourselves and see if there is any offensive way in us. Here is one of my songs based upon Psalm 139. In it we ask God's forgiveness for our thoughtless ways. It's called Search Me, O God.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know thoughts. See if there is a what I will say. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. You hem me in.
This is just to remind you that this is Radio Tyneside, Hospital Radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the Ward Entertainment System, and on 1575 AM in the hospital community, and on Radio Player. Contact us online at info@radiotyneside.co.uk. It would be lovely to hear from you. So in the same measure we forgive, we shall be forgiven. Part of the Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us as we forgive others." Forgiveness and reconciliation is the best hope for a world in conflict. When we consider Martin Luther King and his role within the civil rights movement, and Gandhi's struggle in India to obtain independence, we must admit what powerful and admirable leaders they were in shepherding their people along a path of forgiveness and reconciliation. There would have been such bloodshed had these leaders preached a different message. They too weren't afraid to speak the plain truth, and they stood against their oppressors with great courage. Johann Arnold, in his book Why Forgive, says that in many places of tension around our world, such as Northern Ireland, Rwanda, South Africa, there's been so much work done in what we call restorative justice, where victim and perpetrators of crime have been able to come together and work through their pain and inner conflicts, and have been able to apologise for the wrongs they've done. We even see this kind of work in our prisons today, and some remarkable work is being done. Whole communities benefit, and we can end up with much healing and a much more stable society, and hope for the future. Today's readings speak to us of a much better way for our world than revenge and cruelty. King David and John the Baptist help us to see that we must stand firm in our faith, speak the truth, and be ready to acknowledge any guilt of our own making, for these are the ways that will ultimately bring healing to our world. Our next song is a prayer, that God may purify our hearts, and it's sung by Brian Dirksen.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Me from within and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, refiner's fire, my heart
I choose to be
This is Sheila Hammer. Thank you so much for being with me today, and my thanks also to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical skills. Please stay in touch each Sunday on 1575 Medium Wave, and stay tuned now for Martin Green and his upbeat breakfast show. The last verse of our final song ends with these words: as you see the wars and hate that others radiate, may the saints and saviour watch over you. It's a 9th century Irish blessing sung by the Northumbria community. May God bless you always and keep you in his care. Bye for now.